I've referenced more than once a book authored by our brother Doy Moyer, which is entitled Mind Your King. And it is a study on the topic of authority. And we especially referenced that in some recent studies here that we did on the subject of biblical authority, doing all things in the name of the Lord, whatever we do in word or in deed. And so, as we think about that, God's will is that all men be saved, that they come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2 tells us that in the first 5 verses. And when one comes to know that he is a sinner and understands the provision God has made for salvation and what we must do to be saved, to believe on the Lord with all of our heart, to repent of our sins, to confess our faith in Jesus as the Son of God, and on that basis to be baptized for the remission of sins, the Bible teaches wonderful things happen when we obey the gospel. Every sin is forgiven by the blood of Christ. And the saved are added by the Lord to the spiritual body, which is his church. But we're talking about minding our king and doing all things by his authority. And so to that end, we also read further that it is God's will that when we become Christians, that we also be part of the local congregation. That's not something that men made up. As you study the book of Acts, as you study the epistles, you see that that's the order that, when I say the order, the God-given order, the process that is laid out there, that they're not just Christians just scattered out and at large somewhere, but if you were like Lydia and the jailer and others at Philippi, they comprised the church at Philippi. The brethren at Thessalonica were the church referred to as the church of the Thessalonians, the church of God at Corinth, and the church at Jerusalem, where it all started. And so it is the local congregation then that one is to be added to, that is to say, he is to, the scriptural term can be joined, as in Acts chapter 9. One is added by the Lord to the church, the body of the saved, but the local church, one states his intention, that he wants to be part of that fellowship and recognizes a member, and as if there are elders, to be subject to the oversight of the elders. And so in keeping with that, in our services this morning, there are a couple of things that will be noted. First of all, I wanted to notice the addition of some members that desire to be recognized as part of the congregation here. Becca has been attending and has stated her desire to be with us for some time, Rebecca Johnson. Josh moved up from Florida, so he would not be in a long-distance courtship and continued that courtship here. And as you know, Josh and Becca were recently united in marriage. Before they left for Washington for the wedding, they consented to meet with the elders, and we talked with them about several things briefly, about the things that make for a good home and a good marriage and the Christ-centered home that we desire for them. But also we did touch upon the matter of going to go ahead to state their intentions once. Of course, this is what we wanted, and we talked to them about that, and they said they wanted as well. Josh and Rebecca Kalol to be recognized as members here at Hansville. That's in the directory. Thank you, Cindy and Stan, for taking care of that. But all the information, address, phone numbers, and email is there. But we want to hereby recognize the two of you, Josh and Becca, as being members of the congregation here at Hansville. Welcome. And also along that line, You may have noticed and met Jason and Jennifer Britnell. They've been kind of in a state of transition, so to speak, coming from the Prattville area and the Prattmont congregation. They have now moved to Bluntsville, Alabama, and actually some things are still being moved. They're still in a bit of transition, but it's enough near completion that the two of them met with the elders this past Wednesday night, and they also wanted to place membership with the congregation here at Hansville. Jason and Jennifer Britnell, welcome to you and to your children. And again, the information of address, phone numbers, email addresses, all that is there. So this might not be my typical Sunday morning sermon, but that is my sermon, the first point of my sermon this morning, the first part, and I'm so glad to do that. You know, the Bible teaches to rejoice with those that rejoice, and when a congregation is growing and seeking those that want to grow and develop with us, then we rejoice in that and extend to these the right hand of fellowship. But when we talk about God's order of things, and we talk about minding our King, I've just mentioned briefly the role of the local congregation. God's will is that there be growth and development and maturation among all the members. And in the process of that, that there will be elders serving as shepherds, as overseers. The divine pattern is expressed in Acts 14 and verse 23 as Paul and Barnabas, in the returning portion of the first missionary journey, it says that they ordained elders in every church. And that's God's plan, that there would be men qualified and be appointed in every congregation. And also that there be deacons appointed to the task of being special servants to the church and working under the oversight of the elders. In Philippians 1 and in verse 1, when the church at Philippi was addressed, the church was addressed to the bishops and deacons and all the saints. And that again expresses God's will. And that's what we're about this morning, doing the will of God. That's what we're about in this service this morning, and I trust in all of life, doing the will of the Father in heaven. In recent lessons, this past, the latter part of February and the first part of March, we did a total of 4 lessons in which we were discussing with 3 lessons the qualifications of deacons. And in the 4th lesson, we specifically addressed the work and responsibility of deacons. I want to revisit the primary text that we used. Turn with me, if you will, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 3. I trust this is not an unfamiliar passage. The qualification of elders is given in verses 1 through 7 in 1 Timothy 3. When you drop down to verse 8, the text reads, "Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let these also first be proved, then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless." Verse 11, "Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." We reference that passage in each of those 4 lessons. We've read the text and we've gone over doing, as time would permit, careful word studies to see what is involved. We've also made use of a related passage in Acts chapter 6. In Acts chapter 6, regarding the church at Jerusalem, the apostles summoned the multitude of disciples. And to meet the needs of the saints that, as the church was growing, such as is described there in the first couple of verses, verse 3 continues, "Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men full of good reputation." Seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. And so this also would include qualifications. Good reputation. Men full of the Holy Spirit. Men characterized by wisdom. So we looked at this in connection with our study of 1 Timothy 3. In these lessons, we've tried to emphasize, among other things, a couple of thoughts, a couple of passages. Back over to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and the 10th verse, I think in every lesson we made reference to this, where the text says, "Let these also first be proved, then let them serve." It is God's will that by reading the qualifications that there would be men to come to your mind that would meet those qualifications. It's not a process, let's appoint someone and see how he will do. But rather the text says, "Let these first be proved, then let them serve." And in connection with that, Timothy as an evangelist was told in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 22, "Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure." Now, every passage has a context, and the laying on of hands is used in different ways in the scripture. But here the more immediate context would be to the laying on of hands to appoint men such as elders, who are in the immediate context of verse 17, elders, and all the way down through here into the passage that we're at right now. And the point of the passage is specifically about elders. Timothy, don't lay hands suddenly on anyone. Don't move too quickly on this. Don't get in a rush, because if you appoint someone to be an elder and he's not qualified, this can cause great harm to the church. And the rest of the passage that says, don't be a partaker of other men's sins. If you have part in appointing him and he's not qualified, then you are a partaker in that. And so there's the warning again about elders. But we've looked at that and said the same principle would apply to those who would serve as deacons. I mentioned Acts 6 a while ago. Not only have we looked at that passage with a view of seeing qualifications that are listed in verse 3, but also in terms of a model for a scriptural model for the process of selecting and appointing, whether we're talking about elders or, in this case, deacons. We've made the point that in these early days that the church there at Jerusalem obviously would be under the oversight of the apostles, the 12 apostles, Matthias having been chosen to take the place of Judas in Acts 1. So the 12 apostles are there. Obviously the church is under their oversight. And surely they would know people that would do well. And you know, you could make a case that the apostles could just select some men to be their assistants and to do this work. But that's not what was done. What they did was to summon the multitude. And they said to the brethren, to the congregation, to the people of God, they said that you are, verse 3, to seek out from among you seven men. The text says, whom we may appoint over this business. And so as we've gone through this, and of course this isn't the first time at Hansville we've gone through this. Enough time had gone by, we needed to do this again. But we've shown here from this scripture there's a distinction between the selection process and the appointing process. The congregation was involved in the selection of these seven, whereas the leadership, in this case the apostles, would appoint them to this task, to do the work. And so using that as a model, we've asked the congregation here to select from among you men who would, in your understanding of the scriptures that we've discussed, be qualified to serve. Now, I should say, and you know this, that we have already deacons serving here. for whom we are thankful. They're listed along with the elders on the front of the bulletin. Duane Freeman, Brady Graves, Bill Grimmett, Keith Isbell, Mark Isbell, Aaron Johnson, Wes Montgomery, Greg Peconia, Kip Reed, James Sarton, and Tim White. And so what we're talking about, besides these men that are already serving, appointing additional men to serve as deacons. And so, just to take a moment to review what we've done. We've made available to every member of the church here a sheet that included at the top the listing of qualifications and spaces that you could take part and express your understanding and write names of any one or ones you understood to be qualified. Of those names who were submitted and met the percentage specified, after interviews of the elders with these men, there were four who were willing to have their names put before the congregation. And at this time, I'm going to ask you, brethren, to make your way to the front and have a seat, please. Eric Belcher, Mark Davis, Rocky Montgomery, and Wayman Montgomery. And so 2 weeks ago, these men's names were put before the congregation and additional instructions were given. And that is that if you had any question, you've got a couple of weeks to please ask if you need clarification on anything. That 2 week period was also designated as a time that if any know of any scriptural objections why these should not serve, please call that to our attention. In the absence of any objections, today then was the day designated, and now the day has arrived, for the appointment of these men to serve as deacons. And so I'll ask my fellow elders, please, to approach the front as well at this time, and we will now proceed with their appointment. You guys will just come a little closer, if you will, please. I want all of you in reach of these guys. And Steve, you're sort of in the middle there, and I've asked that we have an additional microphone besides the one that it's not easy to move this one around, but you fellas also will be involved in this. Mark, if you will, make your way here to the front. And brethren, Mark, in terms of the scriptures and the word of God, as we have sought to look out from among us men to serve as deacons, the church here at Hansville has selected you and asked you to serve in that capacity. You have stated your willingness to serve and to grow and develop in that as well. And on that basis then, we as the eldership hereby appoint you and ordain you to the office of deacon. May God bless you to that end. Thank you. You can be seated. And I might mention that we're going to have prayer momentarily, but that will be at the conclusion of the four here. Eric, if you will, please. And our brother Eric, again, in keeping with the wishes of this congregation to put your name as one who would serve us in the capacity of deacon, a special servant under the oversight of elders, we hereby appoint you to serve. May God bless you richly as a deacon with a congregation here at Hansville. Rocky. Rocky, not to elevate you above anyone else, but you have certainly proven your interest in facilitating the Lord's work and in serving in many ways. We appreciate that. And the congregation has overwhelmingly also asked you to serve. And you said you're willing to do that. And here before God and before this congregation, we hereby ordain you to the office of deacon. May God bless you to that end. Amen. Wayne. Our brother Wayman Montgomery likewise has been selected by the church here, and he has agreed to serve in that capacity. I do believe that our brother Wayman has a servant's heart. And Wayman, we pray that God will bless you richly as you serve in the capacity of deacon. We hereby appoint you to the office of deacon with the Hansville congregation. Steve, let me ask first, would any of you have anything further to say? Please do, if you do. And otherwise, Steve, I want you to lead us in prayer, if you would.
Our Father and our God who art in heaven, as we come before you, we do so with gratitude in our hearts as we reflect upon the men who have been willing to assume the responsibilities of serving this congregation in a special way. The congregation here at Hansville has been blessed by several men already sharing in this duty. We recognize this morning that Mark and Eric, Rocky, Wayman have agreed to join them in this. We pray, Father, that you would bless them in this effort and work. We are thankful for the character of these men. We're thankful for their families, the support their wives provide, the children they are rearing, children they have raised. We pray, Father, that as we consider this example, we will be of the proper mindset in supporting them and encouraging them in that work. We are thankful, Father, for the opportunity we have to labor and work together. We pray, Father, in all of this, that your will is being done. And we pray, Father, that all of this will lead to your glorification. We recognize that in all of our roles, we are servants of yours and servants to this group of Christians. Again, Father, we seek your blessings upon this process, and we seek your blessings upon these men this morning and their families. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, brethren. You may have a seat, and if you would like to join your families, brethren, you can. I was thinking of 1 Timothy chapter 3, looking ahead to the goal that each of you four men will have. Those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. And so we commend you to God and to the word of his grace to do this wonderful work. May God richly bless you in the capacity of a servant as deacons of the church here. And Hank, as one of our psalms this morning concluded, I would say to that, amen and amen. We want to conclude this part of the service by extending the Lord's invitation. I should say that there are several of our folks, and you know this, that it turned out are traveling for this week, and I regret anyone missing what we've done this morning. To me, it is just so encouraging to take part by, as a congregation, for us to do this. It's a wonderful thing. And Brother Pender, when I look back over the years, when the church did not have elders, and did not have deacons, and see the good things that God has done, the way that God has blessed us. I give thanks to God for that. To Him be the glory. I will tell you that Satan does not like a congregation like the church at Hansville. He wants there to be strife and discord. He wants people to be distracted. He doesn't want people to be growing in grace and knowledge. Those are things that characterize the church here. And we want that to continue to be the case. But you do not reach a point that you can let down your guard. And we as a congregation cannot have a spirit that says that we have arrived. But we're still on a journey. And we're on a pathway to growth and development. And what we want above all else is to be pleasing to the Lord. It doesn't matter how many good things you or I might say about the congregation here, if we don't have God's approval, that doesn't mean anything. And so above all else, let's strive for His approval. But on this Lord's Day morning, as we're assembled here together as disciples of the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ, we want to extend the Lord's invitation. It's the Lord's invitation because He is the one that said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He is the one that said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." It is the Spirit and the bride that say, "Come." The invitation of Scripture is, "Whosoever will, let him come freely and partake of the water of life." I mentioned this morning when I was just going back to some basics about following the plan of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, the reason that Paul is telling Timothy to pray for all that are in positions of authority in high places, he does say that we may live a quiet and tranquil life in all godliness and gravity, but then he says this is the will of God. He says God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And if you've not yet obeyed the gospel, God wants you to be saved. He wants you to come to the knowledge of the truth. And knowledge of the truth means knowing who God is. It is impossible to be pleasing to God without faith in Him. And so we must believe that God is, and He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. We must believe Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 32, "For except you believe that I am He," or John 8, 24 I meant to say, "except you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins." We must believe that He is God who became flesh and died for our sins according to the Scripture, was buried, and on the third day rose according to the Scripture. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 5. Paul said, "That's the gospel that I preached, that you believe, by which you are saved, if you continue therein." And we must understand that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Bible teaches in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. And so as we come to the Lord on his terms, not our own righteousness, not our own plans, Romans 10 and verse 4 speaks of those who have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And he said, seeking to establish their own righteousness, they've not submitted to the righteousness of God. And that is doomed to fail. And so it must be, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." When we ask the question, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" He answers in his word. And as we in faith repent of our sins, we decide, "I don't want to live in sin anymore. I want to live as God would direct." And we acknowledge by confessing his name before men, and we're baptized into Christ. Thanks be to God, every sin is washed away. The way Paul put it is, you were servants of sin, but when you became obedient unto that form of doctrine unto which you were delivered, you were free from sin, he says, and you became servants of righteousness. Oh, what a difference the gospel makes. Do you want to be able to sing songs like this? "My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. That song can be your song. That song will be your song if you will obey from the heart the gospel of Jesus Christ. He'll forgive you of every sin. You'll be added by the Lord to His church, the spiritual body of Christ. And beyond that, if you live here, it would be wonderful to have you as a part of this congregation to work and worship with us. But wherever you go, you'll go there as a faithful child of God, continuing to grow and prepare ultimately for heaven, our home with God for eternal life. This morning, if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, if you've made that step but you've strayed from the Lord, you need to come back in repentance and prayer. God is calling the prodigal. Come as we stand and sing.